It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
So next time you try to set the damn narrative that I'm rooting for a player to be hurt, call me first. But what I will not allow you to do is try to set a narrative about who I am and what my integrity stands for. So that's just to you, Mr. Brandon. That's all I care about. Goodbye.
That's all now, facts, no breaks, huh?
And that is all facts, no breaks, Keyshawn. What's going on? It's Keyshawn, and welcome to my show, Undisputed Presents All Facts and No Breaks. Joining me today is one of the top names in the NBA reporting circle for the last 30 years, Fox Sports NBA analyst and host of the Ball Podcast, Rick Bucher. I always want to say Walker Buehler. It just is something that just, Rick Buehler, I was like, Rick Buehler, but Bucher.
Glad you carried that.
No. So before we dive into all things NBA, Los Angeles Lakers, what's going on? This is going to be a little bit of a different podcast, a little bit of a different show for you.
Oh.
So I want you to sit tight real quick because I want to address something.
Oh.
And I typically, as my son would tell you, I really don't pay no attention to social media, no blogs, no outlets, none of the bullshit in the world that goes on with naysayers. Now, I got a guy sitting next to me that is Hall of Fame worthy when it comes to journalism, especially when it comes to the NBA. So yesterday on Undisputed, another show that I'm on, I talked about the injury to Jamal Murray and saying that I am grateful that he is hobbled and questionable, injured, whatever you want to call it, because it gives my Los Angeles Lakers a real opportunity and a chance to win. As you can see, based on last night, what happened when he was on the damn floor. So I had, I don't even know what this is, Awful Announcing, a reporter from Awful Announcing named Brandon Conti. Awful Announcing. So he went on to try to set a narrative yesterday about me cheering for the Los Angeles Lakers and yet still cheering for Jamal Murray to be injured, is what he described it as. Me, as a former NFL football player, number one overall draft pick, many injuries in my career, I was rooting for an individual to be hurt. First of all, I'm not a journalist, as you described in your write-up or whatever. I'm a journalist. I'm not a journalist, okay? I'm myself. I'm a former athlete that happens to work in the sports media space. So let's get that clear. Secondly, I know Jamal, and I would never root for Jamal to be hurt. Ever. Although, if he missed the game, it probably would have given my Lakers a better opportunity to win the game. So then this dude doubled down again today as I made a conversation with Skip Bayless and Paul Pierce, NBA champion, Hall of Famer Paul Pierce, about the NBA and the Jamal Murray playing in the game. This dude want to be famous. He want to ride my name and my coattails. So I'm going to give you a chance to be famous now. First and foremost, you don't know me. Secondly, you're an idiot for even trying to put that narrative out there that I'm rooting for players to be hurt. How stupid could that possibly be? Would Jamal Murray be hampered, help us win that game? Potentially. Quite potentially. But it didn't happen, as you saw with your own eyes, just like I did. Him being on the floor was a problem for all of us Laker fans. We knew that. But nobody was rooting for anybody to be hurt. So next time you try to set the damn narrative that I'm rooting for a player to be hurt, call me first, or else you're going to continue to be a stupid-ass idiot as far as I'm concerned. And I don't care what backlash I get from whoever, but what I will not allow you to do is try to set a narrative about who I am and what my integrity stands for. So that's just to you, Mr. Brandon. That's all I care about. Goodbye.
That's all now, facts, no breaks, huh?
And that is all facts, no breaks, Keyshawn. But now, Rick.
Wow, that's all blowtorches, that is.
On to more of a why you're here. So the Nuggets took care of business like you tried to warn me.
I did.
Multiple times. For the second straight season, last year in the Western Conference Final, we know what that was about, the broom. This year, it was the broom and the dustpan because we got eliminated in five. What happened?
Well, actually, I'm surprised at the Nuggets because while I told you at the beginning of the series that I thought it was a fait accompli that that the Nuggets were going to win in spite of everything that you were hoping for from LeBron and the Lakers, and I think the Lakers did as much as they could do.
Yeah,
I don't look at them and say, you know what, they didn't bring it. I would say that about the Denver Nuggets. This is again. I didn't think last year as a sweep was as challenging or looked as challenging as this five-game series did this year. And it really has me wondering about the Nuggets because last night, they looked tight. Mm-hmm. I expected them to, okay, you know what? We messed around in game four. We gave them one. Let's come home and let's take care of business. And they struggled to really get it done. And it was a lot of unforced errors, a lot of miscommunication. And this is a team that's won a championship. This is a team that's had to execute.
What did they have, 13 turnovers last night?
I don't know how many of them. I think it was 13. But there were so many that were just miscommunication. It wasn't like somebody jumping a passing lane. It was a sloppy pass to the wrong hand or Jokic thinking one thing and KCP thinking another. And so, like, my whole thing with watching last night was not so much the Lakers as much as it was the Nuggets, because I got the Nuggets repeating as champions. So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, you know what? Minnesota's going to give you a much tougher time than what the Lakers could give you. Are these Nuggets really up to the task? Because they did not look like defending champions to me last night.
But couldn't it have been such that they've beaten you 12 of the last 13 times?
And they can't.
And they're like, eh.
Well, you know what? That's what I thought for most of the series was, you know, at some point, and I'm sure you experienced this. I don't know what team that was in your career, but where you go, we don't have to come out of the gate hard. Like, we know we have their number. Like, let's measure what. When do we have to get busy? And you have that feeling, right? Like, we can't let this game get away from us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now let's play and close it, right? Now let's play and go win the game. I felt like the Nuggets did that for the better part of this series. I just, after losing game four, after getting bit by it, because they didn't want it to go game five. Yeah. You want to get it over quick, right?
Because you go game five, I mean, if you go game six back in L.A., though.
Oh, all bets are off now.
Now you're so tight you can't shoot a BB out.
Exactly. And now, and like, Minnesota's waiting for you, and you're leaning on your starting five more than you did last year because your bench is young and still unproven. And Jamal Murray's dealing with something. KCP's down. Like, you opened the door to problems.
Yeah, I was like, man, keep that bench on the floor.
Yeah.
So KCP went out those two times and went to the tunnel. I'm like, oh, God, yes. Bring those dudes off the bench.
Yeah. So that, I mean, and we'll see how that plays out against Minnesota. But I just expected a far more dominant, forceful performance. They didn't let it get away from them in the first half the way they did in the previous games. Mm-hmm. But they also didn't close the way. I mean, look, it came down to one shot again at the end of the game. And I mean, again,
put them in a bad spot in pick and roll.
The Nuggets knew, like, if it's a possession by possession game, we got these cats.
Yeah.
Like, we got these cats. But I thought that they were going to try to send a message and say, hey, we messed around in game four.
Where did Darvin Ham, if at all, you think he went wrong at? And what do you see as a double barrel question you see as his future with the Lakers?
I honestly get the sense that the Lakers are committed to him because I think they like the way that he develops the younger players. And let's face it, that's where the Lakers are right now.
Even though the star player and Anthony Davis questioned Darvin Ham's coaching ability without mentioning his name.
If AD were a stronger personality, I'd worry about that. But AD really is a go-along type of guy. And so him expressing that opinion doesn't necessarily make me believe that there is an issue there. Now, the one thing that I seriously question is with 3 minutes left, when Jokic went to the cup and AD, they called the foul.
Yeah. And he blocked it clean.
And he
snuffed him.
But he challenged that.
Yeah.
Right? And that was the second challenge.
Yeah, from the first one in the first quarter early in the game.
And they,
that we won. They reversed it.
And they won that. They won the second challenge, right? Yeah. But they took their last time out as a result of because of the rules. Mm-hmm. And you got 3 minutes left. And it's a tie game. And you're challenging something to prevent Jokic from going to the free throw line. Like, I with 3 minutes left in a game that you're you assume is going to go down to the wire. Because let's say they have a timeout left with 3.6 seconds
left.
And we
advance to midcourt.
We're calling timeout. We're getting a play set. Side we're advancing out. 3-6. Yeah. We can get a good shot.
Yeah.
They were done. They were cooked. So that to me, and part of it was AD and LeBron were like calling for the.
Yeah.
But that's pressured, where as a coach.
Pressured him into it from game four.
Right.
When LeBron told him and he didn't do it and he walked away with two timeouts.
Which I found really interesting that because there was another play a little bit later with D'Lo who asked for a review.
Yeah.
And he gave it. Like,
I don't know, maybe he just. At the time, I'm assuming maybe LeBron, he just didn't want to challenge that one, and he screwed it up. So maybe this time around with D'Lo, he's like, okay, I'll do it.
I get that, but there are plenty of times where coaches will challenge based on who the player is that's asking.
No, that's very true. In football as well. In football as well, my coaches and Parcells would be like, did you catch that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I didn't catch it. He go, okay, you sure? I'm like, no, I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
Boom. Or he would ask, did you get your foot down? And I'd be like, yeah, I got my foot down. Easy.
Yeah.
And he go, boom, and then we win. So it's all about, like you said, depending on who the player is.
But LeBron was emphatic.
Yeah.
Challenge it.
But he might have been emphatic with some other stuff in the past, and it didn't go the same way. So maybe Darwin goes, nah. And speaking of LeBron, Rick, is this his last game as a Laker?
No.
Or are they going to extend him beyond a year? And do they take on Bronny? And is Bronny, I'm giving you a triple barrel question.
Yeah.
Are they going to extend him? Is he a Laker still? Is Bronny coming to the Lakers? And is Bronny an NBA talent?
Yeah. If you were a journalist, I'd be all over you right now. Because that's just...
I did a triple barrel.
You certainly did. I appreciate that you know that it's off. LeBron's not going anywhere. He is going to remain a Laker. I don't know necessarily that they will extend him, but they will, whether it's signing Bronny as an unrestricted free agent or finding a second round pick to take him, Bronny will be a Laker. I don't see any way in which that ultimately doesn't happen.
So my question was, do you see a team going to draft Bronny to get LeBron? Do you see like a world where that happens?
No. Because one, LeBron doesn't want to go anywhere. Like, you're talking about him playing a year. I'm not even sure it's two. I think at this point, he wants to have the opportunity to play and set and be the first father-son combo to ever play in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that he's looking for much more than that. Like, and I don't know how much Bronny's going to play. Right?
Well,
I
think if you're on the team with me and you're the 12th man, you're playing with me. That's playing.
Yes. Yeah, no. Technically.
That is playing.
Technically. But just, in terms of the reward of me with my son, we're on the same team.
That's a picture we have together.
Yes. No. I understand.
Masses.
But you only need 1 year to do that.
Right. No, I understand.
Like, there's no reason to, what are we accomplishing with multiple years?
No,
right?
I understand. No, I get it. But why would I, as an organization, commit to you? And if you're not going to be here for the long term, and bring back Darvin Ham, bring back AD and whoever else, and run all this back again to look up at the start of the season and be 2-9 and my fan base screaming bloody murder, and we're in the same position that we're in from 2 years in a row. Now we're going to do it a third year, and I got to fire the coach, bring in an interim coach, and then we back to square one again.
Yeah. That's why I don't – so I'm not sure what your question is.
Why would I commit to LeBron staying in L.A.?
Yeah.
If I'm Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, if I'm going to run it all back again, if he's only going to play 1 year.
What's the alternative?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there is. Look, this is the entertainment business. And the idea of having a year where you might not be playing for a championship, but you get to have a father-son duo. And if it's the farewell tour for LeBron,
just do it.
You're going to sell some tickets.
But they're going to sell tickets anyway. It's the Lakers.
Nah, you might sell some tickets, but they're not showing up in the seats.
Right.
Like, if it's a farewell thing, then at least it's going to be, you know what? I want to see the last, this is my last chance to see LeBron play. I'm going to go see that just for the spectacle. So that to me is where they are right now. Because you have to hit a hard reset.
Well, if I'm the Dallas Mavericks, for instance, I won't see LeBron here in the next month. And I'm going to say, man, come on over here with us and we're going to draft your son.
That's
you want to play 1 year, right, Kiki?
Right, draft the son as like LeBron James.
I'm going to take this and I want to be in bed with you and Clutch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take this because I want to be in bed with y'all. Y'all got a quarter of the top players in the NBA.
Yeah.
I want to be in bed with y'all.
Okay.
If I'm Dallas, for instance.
Do you really want to be in bed with Clutch?
Why wouldn't I?
Because Clutch then, it's like the black Spider-Man suit. Like, it kind of takes over who you are.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, man, if I'm Mark Cuban, I'm not okay with that.
But why?
Like this has always been my thing.
If I got a chance, for instance, to get Darius Garland, or I got a chance to get a younger AD, I'm just trying to think that roster off the top of my head.
But you're not getting those guys.
Why
you're not getting those guys just because you're with Clutch.
No, yes, you are.
No, because Clutch is looking out for those guys. Like, I'm going to bring...
No, they are manipulating what goes on in their circle with their players.
Still for the best of their players.
Of course it's going to be the best. But if I could take... And I'm just using Dallas as an example.
Yeah.
If I'm representing... what's my guy in Atlanta...
Trae Young?
Not Trae. Well, Trae, for instance. Trae,
or DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray. If I'm representing DeJounte Murray and I want him to land in Dallas, for instance, because they got a good team and a good championship, and I could also bring in another one of my clients and also take another one of my clients from over here, and I could put it together, same thing they did with Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Same thing they did with Anthony Davis.
I get that.
Caldwell Pope benefited off LeBron coming to Los Angeles before him.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, we'll bring LeBron in. We're going to get one of our guys. Make sure he's taken care of. Here's another guy, Taron Tucker. Make sure he's taken care of. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, it is playing with fire because in the end, you got to win a championship. And if you don't win 100%. Championships, it's going to look like, ah.
And if you don't win a championship, Clutch isn't going to take the hit for that. Mark Cuban is going to take the hit. Nico Harrison is going to take the hit.
Such good, Nico's smart enough. He knows.
Yeah, he knows that if I hand the keys to Clutch, I don't know what's happening to my team.
The Lakers handed the keys to him and got a championship out of it.
Okay, the bubble championship.
See, I mean, Mickey Mouse, huh?
But here y'all go with the Rick.
No. Let me be clear. They were the champions.
Right.
Okay? That is, they were the best team that year. That's legit. But as we go forward, you can't say that was not a unique championship with the 3 months off, that somehow because they won that championship, that now you had the opportunity to win multiple championships. They haven't come close to...
We blew up the team. No, that was stupid to blow up the team. That was dumb to blow up the team.
Oh, you know who... Wait a minute.
We blew up the team.
Who decided that?
I don't know, Rob?
Clutch.
Oh, Clutch.
Sports, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what you're get. That's what you're at asking to join forces with. Like, Key, I know you. Like, you don't like having to listen to somebody else tell you. Okay, so. But you're saying I'm going to partner. I'm going to co-opt my authority in how I'm building my team.
Because they got so many, like I said, they got about a quarter of the top players.
Yeah.
In the NBA that I could benefit off of.
But if I'm clutch, I'm also looking at it and saying, do I really want to put, look, Darius Garland.
I just used Darius as an example.
I know, but in Cleveland, he's the guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's his team.
Yeah.
If I take him to Dallas, that's not his team. Yeah. He's never going to have the same. It's Luka's team.
It's Luka's team.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're still going to position their guys in the best interest of their players.
Okay, it may not be Dallas. Hell, it might be, I don't know, one of these teams. I just thought of Dallas. I don't know.
Well, but the bottom line is, look, I'm not going to rent LeBron for a year. And I'm not going to draft Bronny. Because, okay, so Bron comes and plays for a year with Bronny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then he retires.
You stuck with Bronny.
And now what am I doing with Bronny?
Okay.
Right? And he's a great kid. But,
yeah,
like, as a player, if his last name was Bucher,
he'd be a shooter.
He would be a shooter.
Knockdown shooter.
He would be a shooter. Oh, he would also be playing, probably trying to make his way through the G League, hoping that he got the call up.
All right, well, let's talk about a team that's actually winning. So Oklahoma City Thunder just swept the youngest team in history at 23 years old to win a playoff series. How impressive was this?
I mean, somewhat impressive. They got the right matchup.
Yeah.
Right. Like New Orleans.
With no Zion.
And they don't, New Orleans really didn't have the size to exploit what Oklahoma City, their biggest weakness, which is it's Chet Holmgren. And then the next biggest guy is Josh Giddey. Mm-hmm. So, look, I love seeing this happen. I love seeing this happen for really young players to experience what it takes to win a playoff series and just have the experience of playing in the playoffs. What I'll be interested to see going forward is, like, the playoffs are a whole different animal in terms of the energy that it takes and the focus. And the number of guys that I've talked to afterward, after their first experience in it, and they're like, man, I had to sleep for like a week. Like, it was so consuming and taxing. And they're experiencing that for the first time. So we'll see where it goes. I love seeing Oklahoma City. To me, like, they're not going away.
They're going to continue to get better.
And they have the load of draft picks that they have, ability to make this team even better.
Do you have them coming out of the West?
I do not have them. No, I mean, I picked Denver to win.
Okay.
And I would expect that whoever wins this series between Denver and Minnesota
is going to probably win it
is the team to beat in the Western Conference.
See, I'm not. I still got to see what the Clippers do. Mm. Yeah. I
was on that train for 3 years, Key. I gave him my pass back. I gave him my EuroRail pass back. Yeah, I'm good.
I can't look at the past for where they are now. Yes, they've been.
You know what they say about history.
Yeah, but it's a different team. It's a different coach from the past. There's no Doc Rivers. It's just a different. I don't know. It's just different for me.
So you have the Clippers.
I saw too many games.
No, I don't have the Clippers. I just want to see them, see what happens before I'm ready to say that Minnesota or Denver's going to represent the West. I just want to see the Clippers get past the Mavs. Now, I know Kawhi is out and all that sort of stuff, but Paul George has shown in the past that he has the ability to take a team to the Western Conference Final, even though he was shorthanded. Now, he's got to energize a bunny and Brooke coming off the bench with the second unit doing what he's doing. James Harden, and I know everybody's waiting for the shoe to fall with James Harden because, we've seen James Harden do this before. Yes, with other teams. This is just a different situation. And by no stretch of the imagination, am I a Clipper fan? No, I am not. I would love to see them fall on their face.
That's why I asked.
Except Keyshawn, Westbrook, Harden, Kawhi, and PG are friends of mine. So I want to see them win as far as they can go. I want to see them get as far as they can go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all from LA as well.
Yeah, and they're all LA guys.
But what about the Celtics? They lead 3-1, but they lost Porzingis. How will that injury impact the Celtics, you think?
Oh, I think it's forward? I think that's huge. I think because not having Robert Williams last year was an issue, and Porzingis was was a 3-point shooting Robert Williams. He was, and what has impressed me is he gave them some rim protection.
Yeah.
He proved that he can be not just a floor spacer, but a shot blocker and a rim protector. And if he can't go, that's a huge loss. Now, I've had my doubts about Boston all along the way. And I think one of the things I was thinking about the other day is I think one of the reasons that so many people are believing in them this year is because their regular season record was so much better than any other team. They were the only 60-plus win team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they won the conference, a division or whatever, by 15 games.
Yes. But think about, first of all, what the next two or three quality teams are all in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Knicks.
And right. And those Western Conference teams had to play against the Western Conference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you were, like, say if you put Denver, Minnesota, or Oklahoma City
in the East.
In the East, yeah. Wouldn't they have the same record as Boston?
Yeah, probably. They would be.
Wouldn't
good
they have been
still.
A 60 win?
No, they'd be good.
60
still.
Win team. So I don't think the I think there's it's a little misleading.
Yeah.
That they are like the team to
it's
beat.
It's like because, the LeBron James Cleveland team
yes,
coming out of the East.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you have Boston come out of the East, obviously, right?
I do by default, but right. I give the Knicks a puncher's chance.
I don't.
To knock them off.
No, I don't. The problem in the East that I see is all the best players are hurt.
The Knicks?
Think about it. The best players are hurt. When you talk about Jimmy Butler, hurt,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Embiid, hurt.
Yep.
Giannis playing, but hurt.
Yep. I don't even, Giannis is, I don't think he's played
Not
yet.
Giannis, I'm sorry. Embiid playing,
yes.
but hurt.
Yeah.
So now you
Lillard's
get,
out.
Now yeah. you kind of get the I don't care about the Clevelands and Orlando's and all that. That doesn't mean anything to me. Now when you talk about the Knicks, there's a reason that, in my opinion, since I've been watching the NBA, outside of Isaiah as a predominant point guard to win a championship, there's a reason.
Yeah.
Because small point guards just don't, as your leader, they just don't win championships.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah.
AI was close.
Yeah.
He was a scoring machine.
Yep.
He was close.
Yeah.
But he ran into Shaq them.
Yeah.
They got bigs.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at
Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson is a scoring machine. He right. might drop 40 on you in any moment.
Yeah.
But he can't be he just can't be the guy that takes you over the top against a Celtic team that has length, scoring power. I mean, White had 38 last night.
Yeah.
When is he ever going to have 38?
It just randomly got 38.
Well,
I mean, but that is a really compromised Miami Heat team.
No, I understand.
I mean, no Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier.
Right.
I mean, Eric Spoelstra was my coach of the year because I'm amazed at what he got out of them.
Yeah.
With Jimmy only playing what? Less than 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Herro playing half the season. I mean, think
you know,
about
he's never
some of the
won
guys.
One? He's never won Coach of the Year before.
Yeah, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
I mean.
Really?
He's never won Coach of the Year. Yeah.
Who had better years he didn't have players?
Good question.
As somebody who's been a voter for years and years and years and has observed my fellow media members and how they vote, it really comes down to who had the best record, and more than anything else, a team that no one expected to have a great record and does, and the media members can't figure out why they were better than they were projected to be, so it must have been the coach. Instead of, you know what, you underrated the talent on that team.
Mm.
But
if I take a team...
Mark Daigneault is a perfect example. Yeah. Won Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
Now, He was second on my ballot because I'm looking at his talent.
Yeah.
They're, man, it was an accomplishment. I mean, honestly, they tied Denver in terms of overall record.
When do y'all vote?
As soon as the regular season's over. And this year was weird.
Oh, so, okay. Well, I see why he hadn't won then. Because the years that he won the championships, he had Hall of Famers. And then the other years that he got to the championship,
exactly.
He was on the back end of the record.
Exactly.
I see why he hadn't won.
And we generally don't credit, if the team has superstars,
yeah.
And I think you probably understand this. It takes a special coach to coach superstars.
Oh yeah.
And to get a championship out of them or to maximize the talent that you have. We just assume, oh yeah, he just rolls the balls out. It's like, no, you're dealing with personalities, particularly
personalities more so than the skill set.
Yes.
Because the skill set
it's there.
Regardless, if you like, I could just go back to football, for instance. Regardless of what play you call, if I change my play with my quarterback in the huddle and I win, you ain't had nothing to do with that. That's my talent that's taking over.
Yeah. Yeah.
They may think you called the play, but us as players, we know that ain't the play that it was called.
But here's the other thing. My getting you to buy into my my play call is part of the challenge.
Yeah. Like, I may not buy in. Like I said, if you call something, Rick, and I look up and I see a certain coverage, and I turn to my quarterback and say, man, I'm not running that shit. And then we change it. That falls on me.
Yeah.
Not on you, because I didn't buy into your play call to begin with.
Right. But let's say you don't change it and you run it. But you're not buying into it because it's
not going to work.
And so it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
So that falls on the coach.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely. 100%.
Right. And so to me, that's where we really miss is that Eric Spoelstra had Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James come in.
To buy into it, though.
And they had to buy into the way he wanted to coach them and the system that they wanted to run, which was brand new to all of them.
And I think allegedly LeBron wanted to pull the Shaq.
He tried.
And he tried. Pat Riley was like, go sit your ass down somewhere.
When he first got there.
Yeah, that's
He was like, he wanted Spo out of there.
Yeah.
Right?
And Pat Riley said.
Because Spo was like, we're not doing it your way.
Yeah.
We're doing it my way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so to me, coach has not only the ability to say and do that, but then make good on it and win. That's a coach of the year.
Mm-hmm. So now that you're looking at these playoffs, right? So this is the first time since 2005 that Curry, LeBron, and KD haven't been in the playoffs all at the same time. They basically all got bounced. Curry never made it. LeBron and KD both at the crib after round one.
Yeah.
Is this changing the guard, so to speak?
I think we are in transition. What this is the most interesting aspect of this for me is the best players in the league right now are international players.
Mm.
Luka Doncic, Victor Wembanyama is coming. Obviously Nikola Jokic, right? Giannis Antetokounmpo, like all the guys that were competing for MVP, are all international players. And he won it last year.
Yeah,
right. He probably would have been
in
the mix.
International player. Now that he's transferred over to us as U.S., I'm like, he's still international.
Yeah,
to me.
French lost out on that. So the question is, are we ready for an international or a foreign player to be the face of the league? Or are we going to default? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's Canadian.
Yeah.
I mean, like Anthony Edwards, right? Starting to make his bones, his playoff bones. I don't know that he's there yet. He wasn't in the conversation for MVP. Like, who are the young American-born, American-developed players who are competing to be the face of the league?
Okay, so let me ask you this. How do you identify the face of the league? What's your identification for the face of the league?
When a mainstream person thinks of the NBA, that's the first person they think of.
Well, then we're probably going to be international. Because the way I look...
But we've never had that before.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. No, we haven't. Because the majority of the international guys look like you.
I think
the only one that I can think of, Rick, is Larry Bird.
Yeah.
That's the only one.
And he was
American.
And that was Split. That was Magic and Larry.
But he was an American.
Right?
You know, most players, seriously, internationally, that have been... at the top, have been, for the most part, white guys.
Yep.
I mean, they just have, international players.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about Giannis is not.
Victor's not.
Victor's not, but this is now. This is now, but in the past, the Dirks of the world of international players,
best,
white dudes.
The best international players were for the most part, white dudes.
Yeah, so it's like.
Agreed.
And I think you're heading in that direction, because when I look at my identification of the face of the league, is can I see a dude on a commercial nationally? And I look up, and every time I'm laughing and joking because he's funny.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, because his whole, the international deal and in his language barrier, and he's speaking and he's kind of making fun of himself.
Yeah.
It's like the one they did a commercial the other day on the, those little characters. What the hell, Keyshawn, what's those characters it's a commercial they just did. What you say?
There's a lot of characters.
I know. I'm trying to think of the one with Joker. Minions is what it was. Yeah. They did a commercial with the Minions.
Yeah.
And calling the Lakers. He said that he looked like the Minion.
Oh, no. He looked like Crew.
Crew.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, he does look like it. Yeah. And it was funny. He bought into it. And that was funny. And he's a good player.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see where
he's got some personality.
Got some personality. Walking. The dog through the hotel.
Yeah.
That's personality to me.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Rick, so, you don't think Anthony Edwards could be the face of the NBA?
I think
not in Minnesota, but somewhere else.
L.A., Lakers.
No, yeah.
No, I think he could. I mean, because he has the personality. Yeah.
No, I like him a lot.
He has the dynamic game. But, and I said this yesterday, day before. No, I said it yesterday on The Herd. That, like, everybody's crowning him already. And he's not there yet.
That's what they do. We crowned Ja.
Yes. And look what happened.
Well, he had some off the court issues. I don't think it's just different. But I'm just saying, you said they crowned him early. I'm like, well, we crown Luka. That's what we do.
I know. And then we're disappointed when they don't live up to the crown.
Yeah,
We kill him. And it's like, well, he didn't. And this is what I love about Ant. Like, everybody wants to make the Michael Jordan comparisons.
Well,
he did
yoke on them the other day, though.
That was nice. But if you saw the baseline angle, he gets a step and Frank Vogel is over there, like, trying to get KD to come over.
I'm not coming over because I know what's getting ready to happen to me. I'm gonna watch from underneath the rim because I'm not gonna be Murray on LeBron last night. Not gonna happen. I'm just not doing it.
Rick, today, do you rank Anthony Edwards a top player in the NBA? Top five?
Today. No. I can't. I don't think I can go top five.
Yeah,
I don't think I can go top five.
Three of the five is gonna be big.
Can you name four?
Yeah. I mean, well,
three of the five gonna be bigs. Joker, Embiid.
If Embiid is healthy. No, that's just
three. Then you only got two more spots.
Doncic is ahead of him.
Okay, so that's four spots.
Right?
So who the fifth? Now you got my man at OKC.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is ahead of him.
Yeah, that's five. So, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I mean,
close.
He'll get there.
For sure he'll get there.
If you've heard his teammates talking about, like, hey, you know what? He's watching tape and he's working on his game. And we're like, they're encouraging him to develop
a certain habit,
the habits and the cerebral side of the game.
Yeah.
Because he's still, and I was told this by a scout. Well, this is what he does is, like, every now and then in a game, he'll take a shot or he'll do something just to see if he can do it. Yeah. Like, you know what? I'm going to come down. I'm going to shake this guy. I'm going to try to bank a three in. Like, you can't, if you're going to be the best player on a championship team, You can't mess around like that.
Yeah.
You're sending the wrong message.
Got to find this spot. Okay, I'm at the elbow. I'm hitting the elbows 80% of the time. Exactly. This is my spot. You can't do nothing with my turnaround.
Exactly.
I'm going to master that.
Exactly. We've seen the same evolution. Look, this was the first year that Nikola Jokic was at the top of my MVP ballot. He'd already won two times. But this was the first time where I saw Jokic say, when he had certain matchups, rather than, and I saw a lot of it last night as well, he kind of reverted, dude, I need you to impose your will. You're the biggest dude. If they're not going to double you, or even if they're not going to double you right away, you go hit him and put that guy under the rim. I need my best player to do that.
Poor Reeves tried to guard him a couple times. I'm like, how did they get that switch?
Yeah.
He was started at the top of the free throw line.
Yeah.
And backed the ball. I was like, how did that happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that happen when you got that switch?
Well, some of it is because they're looking at how Jokic is playing, and they're like, go ahead. Like, we'd rather have you score than we leave Michael Porter Jr. or Jamal Murray wide open for a three. And we like this pace of it being slower.
Although he did, he missed two on Reeves.
Jokic, no. Jokic had an off game last night.
Yeah, I think Reeves was on him twice under the basket, and I think he missed two.
And what he showed me this year, unlike last night, was when he got that matchup, he didn't hesitate. I'm going to punish you. You're not going to switch. Like, you're going to have to double me in order to stop me. And I need my best player to impose. This was always my issue with LeBron. All the people out there that are like, he's just making the right basketball player.
Well, he is making the right basketball player.
Stop it. If you're the best player on the floor.
Yeah, make the right play. I trust my teammates.
No. Go punish them.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm not having Kyle Korver try to win the game for me when I'm the best player on the team and the best player in the game.
I agree with that.
I'm not. Thank you.
No, look. I second, third jaw, I get it. But
that's all you have to say. You don't have to go beyond that. Key, right?
Right, correct.
I'm gonna take the shot. That's just me. I'm gonna take the shot. You ain't gotta worry about me.
Yes.
I'm a hot dog it all the way to the end. When I was in high school, whether it was on the football field, whether it was in baseball, that's why I named the book, Just Give Me the Damn Ball.
Yeah.
Because I needed the ball to do what I needed to do.
Yeah.
That's just
Look,
I get it, but he makes the right play.
I wasn't the athlete. I wasn't anywhere near the athlete you were,
really?
But I had the same mentality. Anytime I played, you couldn't tell me I wasn't the best player.
No.
Like, the irrational confidence, I may not have had the rest of the game, but I had the irrational confidence.
No, I've been in positions where I've called timeouts. When they call the player, timeout, man, we're not running that shit.
Yeah.
We're gonna lose with me.
So this is what I've always been perplexed by guys like you who are LeBron guys.
Uh-huh.
And you
But
see,
I'm a Jordan guy too, though. And I'm a Kobe guy. Okay? I'm just
But how do you
all over the place with
I am not.
Like, think about it. I grew up Jordan. Jordan. Gotta think about it, Keyshawn. I grew up with Jordan.
Yeah, and then Kobe.
Also grew up with him as a friend of mine and a mentor of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I also shot my first commercial with Kobe. Mm-hmm. I also grew up with Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
I also knew LeBron when LeBron was in high school as a kid, when many people had no idea who he was, in the ninth grade, in the eighth grade, in junior high.
Mm-hmm.
But I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up around or with them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pick and choose.
I'm
not a cop out, but I can't pick and choose on who's better.
No.
At least on live television, I can't.
Yeah. Okay.
In our own conference rules, under our own tequila, then maybe there's a conversation.
Yeah. No, I've run into the same thing where I've had the opportunity to get to know guys.
Yeah.
Right? And so I might, like, I want to see them do well.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, I got to draw that line where I go, I'm not going to pretend you're something that I know you're not. You're my boy, but I'm not going to pretend you're something that I know you're not.
A guy has played 21 years that when we say, well, he won't do this or he didn't do that, that's not true, because we can cherry pick what we want in their careers to say, just like MJ.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan, them first 7 years,
mm-hmm.
he's just a guy scoring points. All of a sudden, he gets...
He was a little more.
See,
than that.
He's a little more. That's the way you see it.
But no, people, that's what he was. He was like, he was taking that Chicago team. Those
and
last,
losing.
Okay, but what?
And
where
losing,
where
Rick,
were they losing? Conference finals?
They would lose. It didn't matter. They would lose.
At some point, they would lose.
But when he got Scotty, they won six. They won six. You've been covering the NBA 30 damn years. You know I'm telling the truth.
He had Scotty before. It wasn't like they got Scotty and then they won championships.
What do you mean?
The first year that Scotty was there, yes. They won the championship?
No, I don't think it was the first year.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
But they eventually started winning nonstop.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not saying that Michael was less than or anything like that. All I'm saying is we cherry pick like we do with Kobe or like we do with LeBron or we do with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar because until he got Magic, he couldn't win as a Laker. He couldn't win as a Laker. Then he got Magic and they won five.
This is what I see with, and you're right. I mean,
of course I'm right.
It's, you know, depending on the lens that we look through
yes.
or what part we look at, we can form
a certain narrative or whatever. Yeah, argument.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agree.
That's all,
and
that's all I'm saying.
This was my thing with LeBron. And I think this is with any great players is like we don't allow the possibility that they weren't always what they ultimately became.
Yeah.
And this is what I truly admire about LeBron. Like, LeBron, even though he took Cleveland to the finals,
yeah.
right? 1 year in Cleveland.
As a kid.
He needed to go to Miami to find out how to harness who he was.
Probably.
Right?
Because nobody was going to Cleveland.
Right. And as much as he wanted,
nobody.
He was hoping somebody would, right?
I mean, who was that could have gone? Was
well,
Paul
he tried
George.
To get he tried and he tried to get Chris Bosh there.
Yeah, Paul George.
In
why
fact,
would I go to Cleveland if I go to Miami?
Well,
hello,
and
I'm in Toronto.
And the other part was like they were like, how long are you staying in Cleveland,
yeah.
LeBron? And he was like, I don't know.
Well,
they were like,
yeah,
I ain't
yeah.
gonna go to Cleveland,
yeah.
and then get
Cleveland
stuck there,
is not
right?
a free agent destination
yeah.
by no stretch of the imagination.
Exactly. So what I appreciate is that LeBron figured out what he didn't know, learned what he learned in Miami. And then he took that and said, you know what? I want to do it where the credit's not going to go to Pat. It's not going to go to the Heat. It's not going to go, like, I'm going to take this back to Cleveland and see if I can take their formula and do it myself. And he did.
Yeah, but.
What?
But that's what I'm saying. Y'all gonna give me a yeah, but you journalist writer type.
No, that's
y'all
it.
Gonna say yeah,
that's
but
the greatest.
If such and such doesn't get hurt and such doesn't get kicked out of a game and he doesn't make that incredible block,
well, there is some of that.
See, told you.
But I didn't say that. You did. Look, his greatest accomplishment
was getting
in his career
was getting Cleveland that championship.
Was winning a championship.
Absolutely. I don't care what nobody say. It was
yeah.
getting Cleveland. So desperately needed a championship.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's just what it is. But I'm going to ask you about a team.
You know what? I knew we'd find something to agree on.
Right.
We
yeah.
found
finally,
it.
Finally.
That was probably it.
So look, Rick, so the Suns got about $150 million committed to KD,
yep.
Bill, and Booker. And they got a bill. You know, they got to pay that bill. They got to pay it.
What, no, they don't.
What should they do? Like, what? How couldn't they turn things around in Sunland with them three dudes
you
with
can't.
That high salary?
You can't.
So somebody's got to be moved?
You got to. You have to. You have to move one of them.
Nobody's taking Bradley Beal at this age with that money.
And he's got a no-trade clause.
Yep. And he's been hurt
yep.
a lot.
Yeah, although he was as healthy as all three of them were as healthy as they've been
in
years.
No, but he's been hurt a lot
year.
Just in his career.
For sure.
So when you look at that, you ain't moving Booker because he's young and he's the future.
No, that's exactly who I'm moving.
Mm. So you're going to move Book.
You get the most out of him, right?
Exactly. I mean, you look at what Phoenix gave up for Kevin Durant.
I don't even remember. It was like some throw-ins and a...
No.
Who
was three it? Really good players.
Who?
And
I don't even remember.
Mikal Bridges.
Okay.
Cam Johnson was another one in there. But those two alone.
Was it Ayton? No.
No. Ayton went to Portland.
The hell was
at
it?
At least three first round picks, if I'm not mistaken.
It probably was.
Or the bag that uh, that that Utah got for Rudy Gobert. So
many
so,
people would argue that that was a mistake when it happened.
I know, but it set
two
but
bigs
it set,
together.
But it set a new price.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is it set a new price. So Devin Booker at 27 years old signed up for the next 4 years.
Okay.
Right? Shooter.
Okay.
Dude, I can get three really good players and three first round picks. Now,
where does
what,
he go?
There's a rumor out there that he wants to go to New York. New York got draft picks galore.
That would be nice.
And if I can get, like, I don't know, if I can get Mitchell Robinson, now I got a rim protector. But I mean, the Phoenix cornered the market on scoring wings. They don't have defense. They don't have rim protection. Like, I don't know how you get better. And KD, if you trade him, you might get some of that, but you still have Booker and Beal who are essentially...
Same guy.
It's a duplication there. So, I say none of this to disparage Book or to suggest that he's the problem, but he was drafted there. I built around them. I built around him. Until I got Chris Paul, I never made the playoffs with Book. And then... I had my run with Chris Paul, and he left, and I got KD, and we get knocked out in the first round.
So it sounds like you are saying Book is the problem.
Well, I'm just saying I don't know that I can make him my number one. And because he's been there and he's the incumbent, he's always going to think of himself as number one, and everybody else is going to think of him as number one. So if I can hit the reset button, and for the next year or two, I can play around KD and Beal, and I can build a team that's a playoff team around those guys. And then KD's 37 after 2 years, and I let him go and I let that money go, and Beal's coming off. Now I've got draft picks and I've potentially gotten some young players where I got a chance to keep going. I don't see any road in which they're going to be any better next year, right? And how am I going to improve my roster when I don't have draft picks or young players?
Keyshawn, what was worse, big three? Brooklyn with Harden, Durant, and Kyrie, or the mess in Phoenix with KD, Booker, and Bradley Beal?
Probably this one, right? They just got swept in the first round of the playoffs. So it's weird, though, because I was expecting, like, a bunch of scoring, but it's just one-on-one basketball, so it's, like, easier to guard than you would think it is for the Suns.
See, I would probably say that Brooklyn mess was worse because they didn't even get a chance to get to, they only played, like, a half dozen games together.
True.
They were good. They were really good.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I'm looking at more of all everything that went on. It was just like a soap opera, so to speak.
This is what's kind of crazy, and somebody reminded me of this last night. This crew beat, they did not lose to Denver or Minnesota this season. Because I was thinking, you know, the thing that was disappointing with this Suns team is we had high expectations for them, and they never really showed me that they could live up to that. And I would say that the Nets... I mean, Harden, Kyrie, and KD, when we got a glimpse of them together, we were like, ooh, man, these guys could be dangerous.
Right.
I never felt that with Phoenix, and I never even felt it, even though they did beat Denver and Minnesota every time they faced them during the regular season. The problem was that they wouldn't bring that A game. They wouldn't even bring their B game against C-level teams.
And the Nets would have won a championship if KD's shoe was a size 11.
Whoa. They're supposed to just give you
whoa.
That.
No, that was a game. That was only in game one. What game was that?
That was game four. Seven, right? Where he made the three on the line?
No.
No.
It wasn't. Was
no,
it, game
it wasn't
seven?
A closeout game. No, I don't think it was seven.
I thought it was six. I thought it would have. God, it's terrible now. I can't remember this.
I can't remember it either. But whatever the case is, they would have. I don't know that they would have gone on and won a championship.
All right, but speaking of big threes, Gilbert Arenas recently said on his podcast that no one knows how to be a big three anymore. Let's watch that back.
No one knows how to be a big three, a real big three. Like, I think that is what's missing. And I think that this is the problem with the Lakers. This is the problem with Boston at times. This is the problem with Dame and Giannis. This is the problem with the Phoenix Suns. They haven't figured out what made Golden State great with the Big Three, what made Boston with Paul Pierce in the Big Three great, what makes Denver great, that the three-headed monsters run the offense through each other. It's not you try to do you. If you don't have it, give it to me. I'm going to try to do me. If I don't have it, I'm going to give it to you. Bomb. You're like, oh, shit. Yeah. Right? No, it's like, yo, here, this we're going to be on this side, and we're going to try to figure out shit. Okay, back door, give it to you, pick and roll. I'm flat. We're playing through each other. They're figuring shit out.
So I was going to say, do you think the Big Three formula can work in today's game, or is that era over?
I don't think there ever was an era. I've never bought into the idea that the Big Three was actually the way you won championships. Mm-hmm. And Gil, listening to Gil, Gil talks just like he played, which was, oh, it's my turn, it's your turn, and we just need to figure out whose turn it should be at a given time. The reason those Big Threes that he mentioned work is because their relative skills mesh.
Yeah.
They can be their best, and they're not getting in the way of the other player. Klay Thompson, great two-way catch-and-shoot guy, can defend the bigger guards. That takes care. That takes that off of Steph's plate. Draymond Green, playmaker as a point forward. That allows Steph and Klay to work off the ball and get open. Steph doesn't have to dominate the ball to get shots, right? And then personality-wise, it worked. Boston worked because Danny Ainge looked at those three pieces and said, this is the combination I want. KG is my backbone defensively. Paul Pierce is my go-to guy and my big wing. And Ray Allen is my shooter. And oh, by the way, I got Rajon Rondo to orchestrate everything.
Yeah, which essentially, if you wanted to remove Ray and put Rondo in as the third, then you could that's do, your big three, right?
You could do that too, right? Yeah. But championship teams, so they have that. And then you look at, and I don't even know. See, this is the thing. Like, after the fact, we then create big threes.
But none of the big threes that was created won a championship other than LeBron.
Celtics.
Right. Other than LeBron. LeBron was created after.
Oh, you're saying after.
Rajon Rondo and company. That's creative. So when you create, what I mean by create, I'm not talking about
Golden State drafting. When you're purposely putting three
together. I'm talking about me, you, and Rick getting ready to go play.
Yeah.
Nobody's won a championship.
You could make the case. See, this is the thing, is we labeled the Milwaukee Bucks as a big three after the fact. Nobody was saying Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis were a big three. Okay.
It could be now, but not. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but that's not a big three.
As soon as they won a championship, they're like, Milwaukee's big three is.
When they traded Drew Holiday from New Orleans to Milwaukee, we was like, oh, that's a good piece for him.
Right.
That was it. It was just a good piece. It wasn't, oh my God, can you believe they just got Drew Holiday?
Yeah.
It wasn't that. It was like, it's fine. He should be able to play some defense and run the offense to Giannis.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's why I'm saying, when you look at it, Big Three was created. Now, you got to remember, Ray Allen came before Kevin Garnett
they can't.
They didn't come together.
In Boston?
No, they didn't come together. They came.
It was the same summer.
Yeah, it was the same summer, but one came before the other.
Yes.
Together. Where LeBron, Bosh, and D-Wade came together.
Well, Danny Ainge.
Because that deal almost didn't go the way he wanted it to with Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett didn't want to leave Minnesota.
Exactly. So even though they had already acquired Ray Allen, they had still yet to acquire.
They had to talk KG into it.
They had to talk KG into it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, Big Three, there ain't nobody won like that.
But here's the other part. And LeBron sort of alluded to it, which is they didn't win the first time against Dallas.
No.
Because they needed to get more floor spaces.
Yeah.
They needed to get the Mike Millers in order for that big three to actually work. And that's where I sort of stop at this idea that you need a big three. Like, the big three wins you a championship. Now, you know what? A team wins you a championship.
I like to say, I always believe you got to have two. And whoever the third guy is, has got to be a borderline all-star type.
But even the two can't just be two. It has to be two that fit.
Oh, of course. It got to be right? two that fit. Yeah. And Joker and Murray. They fit.
Perfect.
They fit.
And they because and
you got a borderline all-star who should be an all-star if his regular season kicks up, and then you got a three-time MVP.
And they can play off of each other.
And they can play off each other. Then you add in Porter, and you add in Gordon, and you got something. And now KCP, you got something.
But you know what's funny is, like, we look at Aaron Gordon and KCP and Michael Porter Jr., and now we're anointing them as being, like, these great players.
Man, they good, though. They're How
not,
could you?
They're not this without Nikola Jokic.
That may be true.
Jokic elevates
right.
all of
but
them.
But all great players elevate
they're good players. They're good players.
The next guys.
Yeah. No.
They
that's
do.
That's what makes Jokic special. That's I mean, what they're and not every guy, not every guy we anoint. And coming back to Anthony Edwards. Like, Anthony Edwards is a great individual player. For him to take the next step, he needs to make everybody else better as opposed to everybody else.
He's in his third year.
I'm not saying I expect it. I'm just saying people are already.
No, I know.
They're saying, like, when I hear he's leading the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'm like, no. He might be their leading scorer. He's not leading them. He's not there it's yet. Can he get there?
It's yes. a different lead. When I see my teammate go baseline and lean his body into the air and flush on Kevin Durant, even though Durant didn't contest it, that now has me feeling a certain way.
Yeah.
Or sure. I see him step sure. into a three sure. dead sure. center.
Sure.
I'm feeling a certain way.
Sure.
So to me, that is leadership.
Sure. Okay. So when that same player comes down and just jacks a three looking to bank it in and it misses.
Then I look at that as youth.
Okay.
Then I look at that as he ain't going to do that next time when he learns.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But then at least in your head, you're like, okay, which ant am I going to get on this possession?
Well, yeah, from possession to possession, you may wonder. You may wonder from possession to possession.
And if I'm winning a championship more, and that's my best
more,
player?
More.
I'm just telling you.
Oftentimes than not, he's going to hit. He's going
to
hit.
I know you're trying to make an argument here that I know you don't believe in. That I know you know better.
Then what?
That if this is the guy who's going to lead me to a championship.
He's young. Rick, he's young.
That's what he's saying, I think. Are we making?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's he's what I'm saying. Young. He's young.
Yes,
he's not there yet.
But as far
can we just agree? He's not there yet.
I don't know that.
Oh, stop it.
I don't know that.
You've got to be kidding me.
He's dominating.
You just told me. You
he's
just
dominating the playoffs right now.
No, he's not.
How's he not? When
it
the,
looks
when
like
the
it,
shit
right?
hits the fan. He's delivering. He's closing. He's delivering. That's all I'm saying. You keep taking steps when you're young. You get better. You get better. You have some mishaps. You take a step backwards. You take two steps forward. You take a step back.
Yeah.
That's where he's at.
Yeah.
I can follow
we
that,
agree
though.
With, we agree with that.
I can follow that as a player, though. I can follow that. Because I think he's in it. Is it his third year or fourth year?
Three.
Come on.
Look, I am not disparaging him. I'm not suggesting. I'm not suggesting. I'm not suggesting that he should be further along than he is. I'm just saying he's not as far along as people are trying to suggest that he is. And until he gets there, because he is the difference maker. This is the thing. When he's not on the floor,
I can only see. What they, I don't even know what they minus is, but I'm sure
Minnesota. That offense. I mean, he draws attention. He opens things up for other guys just by being on the floor.
Yeah, he reminds me of a young Kobe versus a young Jordan. He reminds me of a young Kobe.
Yeah.
That's how Kobe was, though.
Yeah.
Kobe, you know, he was like, damn, Kobe, why would you shoot?
Luke.
You know, and then all of a sudden.
Kobe and I had a conversation after the four air balls against Utah.
Oh, yeah.
But because see,
he was high school then, though. He was high school.
He was getting killed.
Yeah, of course.
And what I thought was.
Of course.
And you'll appreciate this. I appreciated that a guy almost out of high school
yeah.
had the guts to shoot an air ball and then shoot another one and then shoot another one and shoot another one.
Well, that's Dale, like, kept letting him do it.
Well,
it was Dale Harris. Look, no, who was our coach? That's Dale, when, was that Dale Harris? Yeah. Our coach?
When Kobe did that, that's when I knew he was going to be great. Because that
confidence, huh?
Because that confidence and that self-belief. And I went up to him afterwards because everybody was killing him. And it might have been a couple of days later. I was like, hey, you know what? I know you're getting killed. I said, dude, you're going to be all right. I believe in that. And Kobe looked at me and he goes, he kind of smirked. He goes, I'd shoot every one of them again.
Absolutely. I was like,
You're supposed to.
Right. You fail at the ones that you don't take.
So
you
Joel.
Take them.
Yeah.
So that's Joel Embiid
going back,
said.
Are we going back to LeBron now? All the ones he didn't take?
Keyshawn, go ahead, man. Rick get himself in trouble.
So Joel Embiid said he was disappointed in Sixers fans for letting Knicks fans take over the Wells Fargo Center. Here's the clip.
Disappointed. You know, I love our fans. Think he's unfortunate. And I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. You know, obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
So, Rick, is he right to be upset? And, Dad, have you ever been in a situation where in a home game where it felt like a road game?
No, I've never been in a situation because every team I've ever played on, our fans, when we sucked in New York, we were 1-15. We had no fans.
Yeah,
we had guys with brown paper bags on their face. Huh. Otherwise, we had support in New York, support in Tampa to the fullest, Dallas. Carolina. No, I never felt that at all.
How are you feeling when you see that? When you see the brown paper bags? When you suck and the fans are letting you know you suck? Are you like, how do you feel about
with
that?
The sell the team stuff?
I knew we were sorry though.
Yeah.
I knew.
So you're not faulting them.
No,
you're not feeling like, hey, us or you
guys. I knew we were ass, Rick. I knew we were bad. I had a coach standing on the field using a cell phone in the middle of practice.
Oh, my God.
Chilling, smoking a cigar. Like, I knew it was a bad situation.
Wow.
This is a funny story, though, because I went to USC. Was no brown paper bags in our stadium.
Yep.
It was, let's go win the Rose Bowl, win the Pac-12. That's what it was about.
Brown paper bag to bring something in.
Yeah,
that's
to bring something in. So I'm walking through the tunnel, Keyshawn. If Tamekas was with me. It's the funniest thing ever. Tamekas to tell you. So the guy has the brown paper bag with the holes in it, teardrops coming down, and he's screaming, and you can see him. Then the person next to him was a Jet fan crying, you guys suck, and da-da-da. And I'm looking, and he goes, you too! We should have never drafted you! I was just like, all I could do was laugh internally. I just kept walking to the tunnel. Was like, oh, man, this is what this is getting ready to be.
It's real, yeah.
We were 1-15.
Yeah.
What I would say about the Sixer thing, though, is half them damn Sixer fans, probably Knicks fans anyway, just living in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
That's what I believe.
Wow.
You know how that goes.
Yeah.
You really a Laker fan, but you at the Clipper game.
Yeah.
But you really a Laker fan, but the tickets are cheaper, so you're going to go to a Clipper game.
That's me tomorrow.
See, that's you tomorrow.
This is what I have the biggest problem with is Joel saying, I'm not calling him out. Yeah, you are. You're calling them out. Just call it the way it is.
Yeah.
You're calling out your fans. Don't half step. Don't say, I'm disappointed, but I'm not calling out my fans. Just say, yeah, look, it was a home game. It was louder. And I will say, you can't control who you sell your tickets to, right? Knicks fans are going to buy
second
up the tickets.
Second market tickets.
Second market tickets, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I do question, like, how were their fans louder than fans?
Probably have more fans in there.
I don't care. You've been in plenty of stadiums where the visiting crowd tries to get into it and be loud, and the home crowd shouts them down. Yeah, we they travel, make more noise.
We travel well, obviously in Dallas, but we travel well in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Tampa Bay, we travel.
Yeah,
and we had Tampa Bay because we were a different type of team. We were like had a lot of personalities, our rock star type personalities. So when we would go in the stadium, we would dominate that stadium and our fan base.
Yeah,
like, and you know, you would sit there and be like, "Damn, we got about 60% of the damn tickets."
And were there, but were there times where like you had your crowd there and you were on the road?
Yes,
and you saw the home crowd try to respond to the Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Where, and that's where I think Joel has a point. Whereas Philly, like Philly fans, stand up for us.
Yeah, what are we
like,
doing here? Right,
right. I mean, we're in, it's not like. You know, it's not like we're the 1-15 Jets. Like, we're in the playoffs. Uh-huh. We're in the midst of this, right? Like, give us a little home support.
Yeah, he needed to try to walk that back though, because he
didn't.
When he first said it, he said it out of frustration. Then he realized, oh shit, I gotta go back to Philly.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the Philly fans are just used to losing in the playoffs. They're just tired of it.
Wow.
And they just, you know, the Knicks are like, there's something to play for with the Knicks.
You have to know him.
It's been 40, 50 years.
He is betting on the Knicks to win.
Okay.
That's what he's doing. I know him.
That's a good bet.
Yeah.
Thank you. So when Jalen Brunson arrived to New York, speaking of the Knicks, he was seen as a good player, but not a superstar in the NBA.
Yep.
RG3 tweeted, quote, "A lot of people got to eat their words about Jalen Brunson. He's been sensational for the Knicks. Doubted every step of the way and just keeps delivering. Make sure those apologies are as loud as the disrespect was." So, Dad, you were one of the kings, one of the big name athletes in New York at one point. Is Jalen Brunson?
I'm still big in New York, and I hadn't played there in 100 years. But what up?
Is Jalen Brunson the most important athlete in New York City right now?
Oof.
The most important athlete in New York City. First of all, I don't ever remember people bashing him for taking less than he deserves right now, money wise, to go from Dallas to New York. I was living in New York at the time, so I don't remember that. So I don't know what RG3 is talking about. Maybe he's just talking about NBA writers or something.
I do think there were people that believed that New York overpaid for Jalen and that Jalen wasn't going to be able to do what he's done.
Right. Well, he's underpaid now.
Yes, he is. But people thought he was overpaid. They were like...
Yeah, but he was with Luka and he wasn't really being able to display his... The ball was about Luka.
Yeah, but
in Dallas.
But there was questions as to whether he was capable of being the
guy. I understand.
Right?
Your question was New York star power.
Yeah, is he the king of New York right now? Is he the top guy in New York in terms of athletes?
He probably is.
Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers hadn't played yet.
Judge?
We did technically.
Judge, I was going to say, but I hadn't watched the Yankees much this year, so I don't know where he's at, and I think he got hurt early on or something. But I would say Judge is probably number one. Brunson probably would be two right now. And Aaron Rodgers hadn't played. So I don't know. Like, he's got to win. He's got to do a lot.
Yeah, but you know how
it
is.
What about Danny Dimes?
Oh, wow.
Now he just wanted to crack a joke.
Yeah.
What was you saying, Rick?
Yeah. But you know, like, some of it in New York is not necessarily that you played, but just what they expect from you.
Well, okay. That's a different question, though. The expectations are bigger for Aaron Rodgers than it is for any of these dudes right now.
Yeah.
The expectations. But as far as like being on the court, on the diamond, star power.
But doesn't that translate? Like when your expectation is that this guy is going to take us to a Super Bowl, he's supposed to take us to a Super Bowl. And doesn't that make him bigger than if you're looking at Jalen Brunson and going, wow, he's got us in the playoffs and we might make it to the conference finals. Like the expectations aren't the same. So that's where
it's because he just hadn't played. So it's hard for me to even put him in it because he hadn't played. You know, it's a different star power and appreciation.
But hey, come on now. Aaron Rodgers has more star power than Jalen Brunson.
In New York. Just city right now, I would, and I'm not there right now, but I would say based on
you're talking about the hungry, MVP.
But I'm talking about the hunger of the Knicks fans in New York City, Rick. They're starving to death.
And the Jets aren't?
No, but they
the Jets fans
are not playing. That's the problem. They're not playing.
It's not going to get better than it is right now. So they just
But to be able to say we getting ready to play the Celtics and we can't wait to get that team from up north.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying.
And that's what I said about the Knicks going to the Philadelphia games. They've got so much to like look for, and they haven't had anything for the Knicks in the last, 40 years?
They haven't really.
It's more than 40 years.
And Aaron Rodgers, once he starts playing and they winning, then it'll probably flip. Right now, it's kind of like.
Isn't that if?
If he plays?
If they start winning.
Oh, if they. Yeah, but they got a good on paper. They got a nice team on paper.
Yeah.
But it's all paper. We got to wait to see, man, and see what they're going to do. One last question for you. If your life depended on you, this has always been asked by me. But people ask me this. They go, if your life depended on you.
Yeah.
LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, or Michael Jordan.
Oh.
Don't tell me no oh. I mean, I'm just saying.
This is the easiest question ever.
How? Why?
Michael Jordan.
Why?
Because he's Michael Jordan. I mean, like, I don't have any doubt.
You're not giving me nothing to talk about.
So here's the thing. I know, one, Michael's not going to shy away from taking the shot, making the play, doing whatever's necessary. And fundamentally, I just think he was the best of the three. He would find the shot. And the difficulty is that the game has changed so much that we can't make pure comparisons on abilities. But whether it was getting the stop or whether it was making the shot or it was or making the right play, Michael demonstrated that to the nth degree. And he would probably play 36 holes of golf before he did it and would have been up all night playing poker the night before.
Hanging out with me.
and he still would have gotten the job.
The best times.
I've been around all three guys.
Yeah.
Right? Michael Jordan, I experienced this firsthand. It was palpable. Michael Jordan put fear in his teammates in letting him down and opponents, and that he wasn't just going to beat them, he was going to embarrass them.
Annihilate them, make them
feel
a certain
way. And as good as Kobe was, and as much as he had that too, like, man, we got to be careful. We don't want Kobe going off on us. It never quite reached the level of Michael where, like, literally.
I look at it as a duplicate. They duplicates to me.
They're as close as you can get.
But
maybe it's just the original. But man, Michael, for those 6 years, like, nobody wanted to mess with the Black Cat.
No, absolutely not. Those 6 years, especially the back end three, I was around him for those three a lot. And MJ was just, a little bit of that rubbed off, conversation-wise.
Sure. Think about Matt Barnes when he faked the ball at Kobe and Kobe didn't even flinch.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even think of doing that to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
That to me is like that little difference there. Slight, but still a difference.
All right. I think that's it. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate it for all this NBA inside scoop. He's taking Michael Jordan instead of LeBron and Kobe for his life at the end. That's a wrap for today's show. Thanks again to Rick for joining the show. Don't forget to subscribe and follow All Facts Pod on social media. Until then, me and my knucklehead-ass son, we out. Peace.
Deuces.